Hello, I'm Gui.
I'm Afif.
And I'm Long.
And you're listening to Copy Overflow, a podcast about software engineering. So no specific topic episode. We'll just chat, I guess. But yeah, I think one of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about was AI image generation. DALL-E? Is that how you pronounce that?
I think so. I think it's a wordplay from
WALL-E, DALL-E.
Yeah, the Disney Pixar thing.
Yeah, you retweeted a few of those and then you mentioned whether you can get the AI to generate a whole series of comic book. I guess since you tweeted those, what was your take on DALL-E then, Afif, and now, if that changed?
Right. So when I tweeted that, I was under this, you know, excitement. But as I scroll more, I see this AI feeds from existing data, right? So
it doesn't have any originality.
Yeah, it doesn't have any originality. These are all based on previous works. But what the original author replied was, there are so many different styles that you can actually ask DALL-E to generate something in between these two styles. And that is kind of innovation in art as well, right?
It combines different sources into something new.
Mm.
That also counts as originality, I guess. But to come up with something from 0 to 1, that kind of new, maybe we don't see the evidence yet.
Well, one of the reasons why I brought this up also, because wanting to bring up the generalization of now with DALL-E, AI is, we don't have need for artists anymore. We don't have need for illustrators anymore. That sort of thinking and notion.
Right. Yeah, I agree that it wouldn't replace original artists, but it might be able to provide illustrations at a cheaper price, for example.
I guess we can talk about the ethical side of that as well, because I do want to tie this with Copilot. And I know there was a lot of noise on Copilot moving away from being a free service. But hold on that thought for a bit. I think for inspiration or idea generation or like concept art, I think this sort of tool is very helpful to give a very good idea of what are possible. And then from there, take it, work with an actual artist or illustrator. Or you need something really edgy, because I think images I see from DALL-E are like super edgy.
I think DALL-E generations cannot generate proper people's faces. I'm not sure if that's by design because of privacy issues or something.
If you want to do that, that's always thispersondoesnotexist.com. Great, like what you brought up just now. Ethical side of things. Would you consider this some form of copyright infringement?
Disclaimer, we are not lawyers. Therefore, our opinion does not matter. But I really don't know.
But is that what you want to bring up?
Yeah, like you can argue that whatever DALL-E it generates is original, but it is still derivative of what it has learned. I think that was also the argument on GitHub Copilot, right? It's reading all the open source code that allows it to read and it generates code snippets based on that. So that's definitely a derivative of written code already. That's why some people's argument are, why would you charge for that? Sure, you have a product that take an input and produce an output, but the input is not yours to begin with. So why are you charging that?
So we're talking about code and art, right? Something that's not physical goods. But if you're looking at other industries, maybe smartphones, cars,
they just draw inspiration from other UX design, right?
Yes.
But it also depends on whether those certain UI or UX elements are patented, right? So I guess if a certain way of doing things is patented, then obviously the competitors can't use it for very obvious legal reasons. But it's a very gray area, then of course you could say we draw inspiration from that. But they don't charge for it, right? Okay, like, I guess because the pricing model is very weird. When you sell something physical, especially like phone, where you bundle up with the core OS of the phone itself and the core UX, you're selling a one-time off thing, but you're providing continuous updates. I think maybe that's also a factor as well on how these things come into it.
So Copilot, DALL-E, I think it boils down to the source they use. If they use everything that's in public domain or MIT license, even if you are doing derivative works, then I think it's okay.
I think we do that too, right?
Yeah.
We just take whatever's on Stack Overflow.
Basically user-generated content on the site that's publicly accessible.
Does Copilot use that as well?
I think it's only GitHub. I don't think they will read private repos. And I think quite recently, after they announced Copilot's pricing model, they added the option to also exclude your public repos.
Some would argue that there is one thing to be legal to do that. Let's assume all the codes that the Copilot user are MIT license or whatnot. Right? There's also another thing about big corporation using open source to make a profit and not contributing back. It's not illegal, but also not a very nice move. But some would argue that they probably free host on GitHub, but I'm not sure if that's enough to justify that.
How do you contribute back in this case? If you're an open source developer, you get this thing for free or something.
That's what they're doing.
If you're popular open source, you can use Copilot for free, I think.
Oh, okay. I'm also wondering if people are just relying on it to be correct, if people are going to actually read line by line what the AI has generated and see if there's any bug.
I haven't used it, but from what I hear people say online, it's good for predictable mundane stuff you want to do. Let's say you want to generate a try-catch prop when you want to call a REST API. You can rely on Copilot to do it. But if you do something like implement your own business logic, then Copilot wouldn't do it well.
Another thing I want to tie back is, like we talked about previously with DALL-E as well, that no, it doesn't mean that artists and illustrators are not needed. It's the same thing. Just because Copilot exists doesn't mean you don't need developers anymore.
So Copilot still needs a pilot.
And there's also the text counterpart.
Yeah, there's so many of those as well.
AI article writing tool generates some stuff, but it still doesn't tell you
typical Medium article that gets you nowhere.
Maybe because all the inputs are those Medium articles that get you nowhere. So
okay, maybe people might think like I'm huffing Megacopium, but I don't think like AI or ML will ever take away anybody's job. If we have that, we'll probably have flying cars right now. But I think the way we work would change, but I think we'll still kind of do what we do, if that makes sense.
In some sense, AI has already taken some jobs away, but not jobs that require creative thinking and design. For example, the Amazon store that doesn't have any human employee in it. You take some item, you walk out, all the cameras and the machine learning will detect that you took these certain items and then bill you directly. There's no cashier, there's no human to take care of the store in day-to-day operation.
I would argue whether AI is a contributor of that.
No AI, technically, maybe machine learning. They can detect whether you took some stuff and they can recognize what stuff you took, recognize your face, and then bill you.
I agree with Long that it has taken some jobs away, but it has also created some new jobs. Did you guys watch the Charlie and Chocolate Factory? So the father was originally the person who put on the cap for toothpaste. And then at the end, he was replaced by a robot, but then he became the mechanic that repairs the robot.
I think people will skill up accordingly or they'll move diagonally. The term that I will use is that people won't lose jobs. Long mentioned about the automated retail stores, right? That doesn't mean that companies will just invest about this. Maybe they'll build new ones with this, but the existing stores still need to be run by people. And of course, that will create a whole different job industry, right? On maintaining the setup of all these automated stores. So rather than saying it's replacing job in terms of like you're firing people, and sometimes having new automation doesn't necessarily mean better productivity. Just because you replace something with robots doesn't mean it's better or faster.
And also the cost.
Yeah, not only you have to pay for the machines, like you have to pay for the maintenance of the machine, and then you have to pay like for the developer that maintains the machines. Are we moving to a new topic?
I think we still want to continue.
I have some point I want to bring up. All these tools, AI or ML, that replace the more repetitive parts of building something so that it can leave space, like what you guys brought up. Open up new job opportunity that require more creative thinking, require more, I guess, the human touch. You come up with new software, you repair the electronics.
Now you have more things to do as a human.
Yeah, but it can be a good or bad thing. The entry bar to getting a job is higher now. It requires more cognitive capabilities, I guess.
I think CI is like a very good example of this, right? Previously, if you write tests, you run it manually. Let's say you don't have CI. Yeah? And then you have CI, then you need to work with this CI service or maintain this CI service. So there's that cognitive load there. Now I have a CI service already. I need to maintain this thing. But of course, it helps you, like, it automatically runs the tests and that sort of thing and builds and deploy. You don't have to care about that, but you still have to maintain it whenever it goes down or whatnot, right? So that's that thing there that you still need to maintain.
It's like how computers have replaced computers. Have you guys watched the movie Hidden Figures? Back before we have the computer that we have right now, laptops, desktop, or whatever not, computer actually is a job. It's not a machine. A group of people doing what our computer, laptops, or desktop do nowadays. They do all the calculations, all the data processing by human. After we have computers, then everyone say, oh, we don't need all these human computers anymore. But in fact, we need more programmers, which all these human computers are experienced to do, right? They know how this machine works. They know how to calculation. They know how to do certain things using the new electronic computers that we have.
That's right. AI will never take my job away of calling another API, getting its result, and then formatting the result. AI will never take that away from me. Fundamentally, that's what you do as a web developer, right? Call an API, get a result, format the result, do something with it, return a separate set of results.
You make it sound so easy, people are gonna cut our salary after this.
Fundamentally, that's web programming in the first 15 years, right?
It's like saying how to make a car. Oh, you put the engine, you put four wheels, and you put some seats there. There, you get the cars.
Long. You are going to cut automotive engineer salary also.
Oh my God.
No, now they sprinkle AI on it, and then they call it a Tesla, right? That's what they do, right? It's a very new and old thing, lah. Definitely, this has come up once and again, and always ethics is also part of it. And then because AI ML is learning from existing thing and drawing, basically the output is the model, right? On like, okay, how do you identify certain things or how do you generate certain things? I guess I'm huffing mega copium when I say I don't think it'll take my job away, but I think we all agree that it won't replace us. We'll just move higher up in the stack on what we do. There'll be more things abstracted away maybe by AI ML, and then we'll do higher level stuff. I think that's always been the way it is. That's how we're gonna roll in the industry, I guess.
Yeah, let's see what happens. But I do admit that it feels a bit faster how we get here. I think with GPT-3, probably that kind of like raised the bar a little bit about AI.
I think it feels fast because it enters like a very end user kind of thing where you see like, oh, self-driven cars and all. It's like very, very everyday applicable, right? Research has been done for a long time already. It's just that it never reached the hand of consumers. And now it is at the hand of consumers and you see it everywhere. It's very much like the boiling the frog kind of analogy, right? You never see it and then suddenly it's like everywhere. You didn't notice the shift because it was slowly accumulated. Really, a lot of all this research has been going on for 20, 30 years already. It's just that now it's like on the hand of consumers. So it's like, oh, wow, things are changing so fast.
So AI is changing fast, but the other parts, like how we use these tools as an end user, doesn't actually move as fast, I think.
Yeah.
That's why we have all these ethical questions. Those discussions are quite slow. Slower than the technology itself. For example, I remember when I was in the university, it was an ethics class, right? And we were talking about how do you resolve an accident caused by self-driving cars, right? We still don't know the answer to that, right?
I definitely agree. Governance has a very challenging time keeping up with this because a lot of times, but these features or products are developed by corporates, right? Because they are not government, they kind of don't care. Quote unquote, don't care, as in, of course, they'll abide by the law, but if the law doesn't say something, then just do it, right? And then that's when governance will come in and say, okay, then we have to think about all this. And I think that's where like the gap is. Sometimes you're not sure whether something they work on, they're going to pull a plug on it or not. Governance takes time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Law is always reactive, right?
Because the first time something happens, they don't have any precedents to draw upon, right? And after that, any subsequent happenings, it will always refer back to the precedents, unless there are like major changes in between.
So it becomes the whole episode about AI.
I guess we just call this AI ML episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to like go back to the government's part of it. I think the hard thing to solve is like what Afif brought up, is the responsibility or accountability. If Copilot generated a code with a security bug and caused a major issues, I'm pretty sure, I mean, Microsoft will have some disclaimer. It's just...
Again, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, we are not.
I think it really depends on the context of like what is being pursued, right? So for example, you use Copilot code causing a major bug in dialysis machines, unfortunately caused like people to pass away. I think it depends on what is the ruling. You look for very different things when you want very different results from the court case. Like if you're suing for damages, it's very different from like you're suing for a murder. So the consideration points will be very different between these two, even though they are related to a dialysis machine code being defective.
I think Copilot is also different than, let's say, self-driving cars, because for Copilot, there's a point where you can actually check the code before you actually put it live, right? So that one is different. Like self-driving car, you don't even have time to correct it before the crash.
Again, for me, coming back to the ruling on its own, I think obviously Copilot would have its own term of service or stuff that will protect them against this sort of thing. Like, hey, we provide this, but if you use it, you're on your own. It comes back to whether it is because of the negligence of original developer who used the code. And I'm pretty sure in medical industries, there are like controls to ensure that you do enough testing so that this doesn't happen, right? And I think all this is a true experience. Definitely something happened. That's why they start to put in all these controls and that sort of thing. So it is a learning experience. But companies also have to think about putting the guardrails. Self-driving car is a very hard thing, right? Because assuming in good intent and good faith that they have guardrails in to prevent this sort of thing, but sometimes it's really like a risk condition or really just a bug nobody hit that caused an incident.
It's even more difficult when it goes to things like trolley problem.
Mm.
If a self-driving car is going to hit three persons and one person or kill the driver, who decides what?
I think people are working on it, lah. No doubt there are people, whether it is engineers or scientists or legislation, people are working on it.
We just don't see it boil.
Also, we're not very involved, right? We're not very directly involved. Like I say, all we do is just, you know, call an API, get the restart format, return an API.
Yeah.
We're not really in the industry, in the know-how, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely they are, lah. But I mean, three of us, we are not, lah. So.
There's some news from Twitter and Hacker News.
Yeah, that's what we do. Thank you for listening to us. We are Copy Overflow. We are on an all major podcast platform that includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. We are also on YouTube. And follow us on Twitter, Copy Overflow. I guess don't let your AI overflow.
Nice one.
All right, that's it for the episode. Thank you.